The scene is set. Jesus casts out a demon. The demon had made the man unable to speak. Another gospel says that the man was not only unable to speak, but that he was blind as well. That's pretty marvelous that Jesus can do that. In one way, I suppose it's not too marvelous because we've come to expect this from our Lord, haven't we? He is God Almighty in the flesh. He should be able to tell darkness light, right? And so the miracle happens. But that's the context. Keep that in mind. The people marveled. It's a delightfully neutral word, isn't it? What were they thinking? We know what we're thinking, but what were they thinking? The scriptures are silent. How is he able to do this? What power is given to him? Matthew's gospel has them asking the question, can this be the Son of David? You bet, right? What would the now able to speak and see man say? Can this be the Son of David? Yes? Or would he simply point to Jesus and say, I don't know about all of this, but I was blind and now I see. I couldn't speak and now here I am with something to say. Right? That's the man who healed me. Oh, but it leads to opposition. Isn't that how it goes? Right? God does something great, grand, and good. But, bad. That's what the devil wants us to do and think. In the Wednesday night series that we're looking at with Lent, that's your commercial for this sermon, okay? Be there, right? With bells on. We're looking at the question, who do men say that I am, that our Lord asked? And one of their answers is, you know, we're familiar with this, right? Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, but then some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Jeremiah. Well, we had a nice long reading from Jeremiah for our Old Testament reading, right? Oh, Jeremiah. He preached God's word, didn't he? And doesn't it sound familiar as you were listening to that Old Testament reading, what happened to our Lord? All of a sudden, the crowds gather to him. And why are they gathering to him? My goodness, this is a scene. These people want this guy dead. Why? He gives the blind sight. He makes the dumb able to speak. And yet, they rise up against him. Why? What hath my Lord done? Right? What makes this rage and spite? He's like Jeremiah, isn't he? He does something wonderful, and then they say what? You're the devil. Be gone, Satan. Right? I mean, think of it. It's been this way for a while now. God created man, and put man where? Paradise. Here you go. Eden, right? Instead, we listened to Satan and thought that God was the bad guy, keeping us from our full potential, right? We could be God. And so the devil has us calling good evil. It's this woman whom you gave to be with me. That didn't come up at the wedding ceremony yesterday. It's probably a good thing, right? And then we fall into sin and we're bound by sin and death, and it just gets so dark. Doesn't it? There's some wonderful echoes in this beautiful gospel reading. All this talk about a kingdom divided, right? And maybe we're really familiar with this because of U.S. history classes in grade school, because of Abraham Lincoln. House divided, right? Can't stand. We know of this because of the Civil War, the Union, and there is power in a union, right? I think we certainly know there's power in the federal government, right? We get it. Maybe it's because in our contemporary culture, we're not so much thinking about 1860 to 1865, but we're thinking about the votes and how it's usually 50-50, right down the middle. But that 50-50 divide is extreme. Two opposing worldviews, completely, seemingly, on other sides of the spectrum. One side says, this is a child, protect it. And the other side says, ah, kill it. It's okay. In fact, it's good. That's opposition right there. A kingdom divided. But Jesus brings up this kingdom divided, and we've been so familiarized by it because of Abraham Lincoln that we've forgotten that Israel's kingdom was divided. They were supposed to have one king from the line of Judah, constantly on down to when the Messiah would be born. But instead, ever since Solomon's kiddos, north-south, a different war, right? A different division, long before 1860. The kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, different kings, a house divided against itself. And then, even long before that, we don't even have to talk about who's got a king and how many kingdoms there are. You can see that they have Moses as their prophet, and they are a people torn, grumbling against this Moses, this prophet. Spirit of rebellion within the house of Israel, the chosen people of God. There's a house divided even there. You get this allusion to others working wonders. And you kind of get that somewhat in the book of Acts, Luke part 2, right? That others are casting out demons in Jesus' name, right? Don't forbid them, right? Let them go. But Jesus says what? If it is by the finger of God. You remember what Moses did before Pharaoh? Plagues, right? And for a while, what? Pharaoh's magicians and sorcerers were able to make the water go bloody, right? But it got to a point where they said, sorry, David Copperfield and Siegfried and Roy, they couldn't teach us how to do this one. We can't do any magic arts here. This is none other than the finger of God. And so Jesus says, hey, I'm not only like Jeremiah here, I'm like Moses. I'm the prophet of prophets. And what happens as he does these prophet of prophet things? Rejected, just like a prophet. They gather around him to kill him. Now, with this kingdom divided, there's no need to jump into how this plays out in our earthly life today or in November, or how it played out in 1860 in our own land. It's simple, actually, this house divided speech of Jesus's, not Lincoln's. If Jesus were with Satan, then why would he attack Satan? Dumb move, right? Either you're of the dominion of the devil, or you're of the dominion of the Dominus, the Lord Jesus. Which relationship do you have? Who's your ruler? That makes us a bit uncomfortable, I suppose. We're here and we say, Christ is Lord. And then, if I were to ask a few questions about how that's played out this week in your life, or in my own, right? I would get rather uncomfortable with the question because there has been, and it will be most likely, of course, a demonic influence upon us. It's evident in our sins, in our grumbling, in our thoughts, our words and deeds, by our own most grievous fault. We can't quite turn to ourselves and then say, I am completely Team Jesus. If we think we're strong, then we need to get the power rankings right. Satan is stronger than you or me. He's a strong man, by the way, in verse 21, right? When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. Satan had that dumb, blind man, that man who couldn't speak, couldn't see, firmly guarded. What's he going to do? How's he going to break those chains? He can't. Ah! The devil's got dominion down here. And you say it too when you look at the news. It's the devil's like playground down here, isn't it? Oh, what's going on? He's fully armed. He's guarding his realm, this world, as prince. He's hoarding it like a dragon. John, greatest of men, he said that one stronger than he himself was coming. And that is none other than Jesus the Christ. He is the stronger man who bested the devil at the temptation. He is our champion, the Lord Jesus Christ, true man and true God, who entered into this realm where the devil had his fortress built. Just plows it over. Plunders it all. He attacks the devil. And it's almost strange to put it in this wording. We're so used to Jesus meek and mild. You know, we're not that far away from Christmas, you know, in the past. But that we got all these violent attack images. But that's what Jesus does to the enemy. He attacks the devil. He ties up the devil. He binds the devil. He rips the devil's fangs right out of his mouth. He takes the devil's armor. He takes all the devil's lies. And then he plunders what was the devil's. Oh, you thought you had all of these sinners in your grasp. No, you don't. They are mine. I've bought them with my blood. They're my own. So forcefully, Christ defeated the devil. At the cross, we see the victory. And the parade, the ticker tape, Easter morn. Here it is, folks. The spoils are for you and for me. These are all of God's promises. And the axis powers of sin, death, and the devil are completely overcome. It is only Christ who delivers us from demonic sway and possession. And an evil end. Only Christ can do this. Thanks be to God, He has. Jesus is the Christ empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Christ has acted, and in holy baptism, the exorcism takes place. Depart now, thou unclean spirit, make way for the Holy Spirit. The devil, all his works, all his ways, renounced, rejected. That void has to be filled. Make way for the Holy Spirit. It cannot stay a void. St. Augustine's great famous quote, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Oh, he's so right. These restless, tormented, cast out demons now, they want a place to land. Send us into the pigs and we'll show you what we're all about. We'll send them right off a cliff into death. That's the devil's intention for you and for me. So Christ gives warning here. Christ and his Spirit must fill the void, or Satan will return with all his horde, with a greater force, and almost coercively or subversively, maybe that's a better word, he has somebody thinking, well, I've gone away from that particular belief, and I'm a little bit better. I kind of trust in my own works, or something like that, or I trust in my own strength, or I I think that maybe all pathways lead to heaven, or something that's so nice and so reasonable and it just makes sense to us and it makes us appear so lovely to others. We haven't even seen that the smuggling in of the enemy is going on right into that person's soul. It can't be vacant. It cannot be vacant and think that you're better off. You cannot fill it with something else other than God. You're worse off. So there is great danger. There is a vulnerability there. Especially when you think you're strong. The stronger Satan is too crafty for us. And he can keep you under his reign if you think you can go it without God. Now back to that divide talk then. If you're not with, then you're against. If you're not gathering sheep to Christ, then scattering them to the wolf and his wolves. Either going to fall, or you're going to rise. That's how it goes. It will either be a never-ending plummet into death, or resurrected newness of life with God. So, where does that leave us? You think maybe that I'm going to place either or before you, right? Should we get the tissue boxes up front? Set out the anxious bench, right? Oh, get you crying for Jesus, shall we? Is this simply leading to your decision? What's it going to be? It goes back right to where we started. That's where we're headed. To those who are under the dominion of darkness, with no words to say, no eyes to see, Jesus has spoken. And he's the one who gives sight and speech. He's the one who fills the void by filling us with his words that are spirit and that are life. We go different ways with it, right? Even the pious person at the end, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed, right? Oh, Mary, St. Mary, St. Mary, right? Hold on, no. Blessed are rather are those who hear the word of God and hold it fast. You see that keep it? Oh, it's just so icky. It brings back the law, doesn't it, in your mind? How you doing at it? You dang sinner, right? Hold on. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and it fills the void. We keep it, right? It's constantly Christ who fills us with life and light. He is our Lord. And he's the one who will protect us safe from the enemy. I can't go without saying this. The last hymn, it's great. Okay, it's really good. We didn't get to sing it to this tune in the 1941 hymnal. Because it's the tune of Germany, okay? It was a wise move to veer away from that tune. So now we brought it back to that tune and it's just ruckus, right? It's just good stuff. And it has so many lines. It's almost, it is in your face to the devil. I pray that you sing that song out today. Just rejoice in it. Go for the crescendo. With salvation's walls surrounded, you may smile at all your foes. You see, the devil had all of his stuff, and Christ just plain levels that kingdom and sets up his own kingdom. And there you are, taunting the devil a second time. Right? Safe with Jesus, your fortress. Amen.